Well, a very good day to you. Welcome to A Good Word for Today from God's Holy Word. I'm Gil Hammond, and it's a good thing for us to turn in God's Word today, especially here today on the final day of the year, and to just enjoy the Word, enjoy God's Word for us today. He always has a good word for us if we will simply read His Word and feed upon His Word. You know, our spiritual man needs the food that is of God's Word, just like our physical bodies need physical food. Remember, Jesus told the devil when he was tempted to turn the stones into bread, he said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." God's Word is our spiritual food, and by it we grow spiritually. We are nourished and made strong by God's Word, just as our bodies, physical bodies, are made strong by physical food. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we will go to our special message for today, a good word from God's Word. Father in heaven, we thank you for today, and we thank you for every blessing. We thank you for Jesus, most of all, we thank you for Jesus, that you sent him to be our Lord and Savior. And Jesus, we thank you that you came in obedience to God the Father, and in obedience to God the Father, went to the cross of Calvary to pay sin's debt for us. Thank you. Thank you. We have limited words to say, but from the depth of our being, from the depth of our heart, we say thank you, because we recognize that it's only through you that we have eternal life. It's only in you that we are going to get to heaven, only through you. No other way to get to heaven other than through you, Jesus. So thank you for being the price of sin, paying sin's debt for us, and making it possible for us to be reconciled to God, our Father. So today, as we open your word, Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, and to teach us. May the words I speak today be your words, Holy Spirit, spoken through me. May they not be my own, but may they be yours, to edify all of us. Thank you, Father, for your precious word. Anoint it today. Send it forth to accomplish the will that you desire it to accomplish. We take great solace in your words, Father, that your word does not come back void, but it does accomplish that purpose for which you send it forth. Thank you, Father, for every blessing. We exalt you, we praise you, and we exalt the name of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, thanks again, dear friend, for joining us today on A Good Word for Today from God's Holy Word. Well, I'm going to continue today with a message that I gave the last time, our last session together, and that message was concerning Jesus Christ. And it was asking the question, why was it necessary for Jesus to come? Why did he have to come into the world? Well, the answer to that question really is found, of course, in God's Word. And we begin in Genesis chapter 3, where Jesus is spoken of by God the Father, when God the Father is speaking to the serpent in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Here's what God says to the serpent, who, of course, tempted Eve and caused Eve to sin and Adam to sin there in the garden. And God says to the serpent, or to the devil, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed." Now notice this, her seed, not the seed of man, but the seed of woman. "He shall crush your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Now, the seed of woman, God is saying here, will crush the head of Satan, that is, give him a fatal blow. Now, he says that Satan will give him a bruise on the heel, but with that same heel, Jesus shall crush the head of the devil. In other words, Jesus will bring a fatal blow to the devil. And he speaks of him here as being the seed of woman. Now, the devil came and deceived Eve. The New Testament tells us that Adam was not deceived, but he sinned willingly. Eve was deceived. And because it was through Eve that sin entered into the world, then it is through Eve, so to speak, that the redemption must also enter the world. So this is why God is speaking of the seed of woman here in Genesis chapter 3. So this sets the stage right in the very beginning for what is going to happen down in eternity. Now in Galatians chapter 4, we read these words, that at the right time God sent forth his Son into the world. Hebrews chapter 1 speaks of Jesus coming as the exact representation of God the Father. So down through the ages, at the right time, and that's God's time, he sent forth his Son into the world in fulfillment of his own words there in Genesis chapter 3, where the seed of woman will crush your head, Satan. Now, for this reason, Jesus had to be born of a virgin, not the seed of man, but the seed of woman. So the angel said to Mary, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon you or cover you, and you shall conceive in your womb of the Holy Spirit." In other words, the egg from Mary would be fertilized by the sperm from God. God is the Father, and therefore Christ is deity. Mary is the mother, and therefore Christ is human. Now that had to be that particular way. It had to be the seed of woman, you see, coming into the world to pay sin's debt, to redeem mankind. The Bible speaks in Romans chapter 5, for example, of Adam being the manner in which sin comes into the world, and this is simply through mankind. In verse 14 of Romans chapter 5, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned, in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come," a type of Christ is what that's speaking of. Down in verse 17, "For if by the transgression of the one," that is Adam or Eve, Adam and Eve, "death reigned through the one," that is through Adam, "much more those who received the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Christ Jesus. So then, as through one, transgression resulted in the condemnation to all men, even so, through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men." So, in one act of sin, Adam and Eve brought condemnation on mankind. And then, through the one act of Christ Jesus upon the cross of Calvary, this resulted in justification of life to all men. Continuing in verse 19, chapter 5 of Romans, "For as through the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one," that is Christ Jesus, "the many will be made righteous. And the law came in that the transgression might increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, what is this saying? It is saying that through Adam and Eve, sin entered into the world, and by that, sin was passed along to all mankind. We're all born into the state or the condition of sin. There is the state or condition of sin into which all of us are born. There is the act of sin, such as an act of lying or committing adultery or stealing. These are acts of sin where we commit a sin. Then there is the act of omission, where by failing to act, we sin. For example, failing to love our neighbor as we should is a sin. That's a sin of omission. Jesus says, "For him who knows to do right and does it not, to him it is sin." So there is the state or condition of sin into which we are all born. Now that's sometimes difficult for the unsaved to really grasp. But as the seed of Adam, as a descendant of Adam's race, death passed to all mankind. Through the sin of one, death passed to all mankind, the sin of Adam. Now, through the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary, life passes to all who will choose it. So by Christ Jesus' death upon the cross, life is made possible. Eternal life is found in him and through him, and in fact found nowhere else but in Christ Jesus. So again, the seed of woman, who was Jesus Christ, and he was also the seed of God, so to speak. The Holy Spirit conceived the Son of God in the womb of Mary, and he was divine because he was of God. He was man because he was of woman. He was the seed of woman. Therefore, he was uniquely qualified to be our Savior. He had to be man, you see, in order to redeem us. And yet the ordinary man could not redeem us because he is not sinless. He is sinful. He's born into a state or condition of sin. Therefore, it had to be Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. So this was the only way in which mankind could be redeemed, is by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So why did he have to come? He had to come because he was the only one who could pay sin's debt. He was the only one uniquely qualified as the seed of woman and as the seed of God to be the sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice, to pay sin's debt for all of mankind, to redeem mankind, and therefore to make it possible for us to be reconciled to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So, my friend, as in Adam, death came into the world and death reigned through Adam, so in Christ Jesus we're made alive through him to eternal life. Eternal life is in Christ and through Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 speaks more of this. In verse 20 through 22 of 1 Corinthians 15, we read these words, "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death," and that is by Adam, a man came death, "by a man also came the resurrection of the dead," by the man Christ Jesus. "For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive." Now that's all who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus did die for all sin. He paid for all sin, for all mankind, for all time, upon the cross of Calvary. Now, in Hebrews chapter 2, we find these words. In chapter 2 of Hebrews, verse 9, speaking of Jesus Christ, "But we do not see him," that is Jesus, "who has been made for a little while lower than the angels," namely Jesus, "because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. So Jesus tasted death for everyone. We're told in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, and chapter 6, verse 23, that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. And the wages of sin is death. So death is the penalty for sin. And Jesus tasted of that death. He experienced that death on our behalf. Now, the important thing, too, is that he was resurrected to life. Jesus himself said in John that I have the power to take my life or to lay down my life, and I have the power to take it up again. In John 10, verse 18, he says this, no man takes my life from me. I have the power to lay my life down, and I have the power to take it up again. And that's exactly what he did. See, on the cross of Calvary, Jesus said, it is finished. And he breathed his last and committed his spirit into the hands of his Father. Jesus gave up his life. He did it after he had taken upon himself the load of the sin of all mankind and paid for it on the cross of Calvary with his own blood, with his own life, suffering death upon the cross for all of mankind. So Jesus tasted death there upon the cross of Calvary for all mankind in order that he might be the payment for our sin. Look down in verse 17, Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore, he, that is Jesus, had to be made like his brethren in all things. In other words, he had to become flesh and be a man and walk among us, that he, that is Jesus, might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation or payment in place of for the sins of the people. So Jesus dies in our place upon the cross of Calvary, taking upon himself the sin of all mankind. Now, look into the mirror and say this to yourself. Jesus took my sin upon himself on the cross of Calvary and paid for my sin in order that I might become a child of God. You see, it is very personal. He paid for your sin. He paid for my sin. He paid for the sin of all mankind upon the cross of Calvary. Now, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, and I'm just touching some highlights here. Hence also, he, that is Christ, is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Verse 24 says, he abides forever and holds his priesthood permanently. Since Jesus abides forever, since he holds his priesthood permanently, he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, through Christ, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Now, Romans chapter 8 gives us a picture of Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us all the time. In fact, I love Romans chapter 8. It asks the question, who shall condemn us? It starts out by saying, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, to those who have accepted him and have been saved and have been made children of God by belief and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no condemnation. Why? Because Jesus paid for our sin. Our sin has been paid for. When we accept that free gift of salvation, we are cleansed of our sin by the blood of Jesus. We're filled with the righteousness of God, and we become literally the very righteousness of God, not because of something we do, but because of what Christ has already done. So he is able to save forever those who draw near to him near to God through Christ. And it's through Christ, my friend. That is an important point for us to remember. It's always through Christ. Remember, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, there's several other scriptures I'd like to pause at here in Hebrews, but let me hasten on to chapter 10 of Hebrews. And here is kind of the crowning achievement, the crowning glory of these chapters up through chapter 10 of Hebrews. In chapter 10, verse 10, by this will, now what's it saying? By the fact of Jesus' crucifixion upon the cross, by the fact that he took upon himself the sin of all mankind, by the fact that he paid for the sin of all mankind upon the cross of Calvary, by this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Jesus was our perfect, great high priest. It was necessary for him to pay sin's debt only once, for he paid it. He didn't cover it, as was true of the blood of animals and goats and sheep and oxen and so forth in the Old Testament. Sin was only covered in the Old Testament by the blood of animals, but the blood of Jesus, being far more perfect, in fact, being perfect, pays for that sin. It doesn't cleanse, or it doesn't cover the sin. It cleanses us of that sin, and there's a big, big difference. You see, when we're cleansed of that sin, it's gone. Gone forever. Gone forever. Now, my sin, and yours too, was judged at the cross of Calvary over 2,000 years ago. My sin was judged there. The sin that I committed yesterday was judged there. The sin that I commit today was judged there. The sin that I will commit tomorrow is judged there at the cross of Calvary. So if I come, as 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 tells me to come, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then he fills us with his righteousness, and according to Peter, we become the very righteousness of God because we're filled with his righteousness. We're righteous because he's righteous. He's imparted his righteousness to us. We don't attain righteousness by our own actions, by our own works. We don't become holy by our own deeds or by our own works. We become holy because God makes us holy. He imparts his holiness to us, his righteousness to us. So we're righteous because God's righteous and because he's imparted his righteousness to us. So in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, by this fact of the death of Jesus and his payment of our sin, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Then down in verse 12, but he, that is Christ, having offered one sacrifice for sin for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. Now notice verse 10, once for all. Verse 12, for all time. And then verse 14, for by one offering he, that is Christ, has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. Now, these three verses, once for all mankind, for all sin, for all time. Get that. Get that into your heart. Get that into your spirit. Understand the truth of that. Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world, went to the cross of Calvary as the perfect sacrifice, and he paid sin's debt for all mankind. He paid the debt once for all mankind, for all time. So Jesus paid for all sin, and that includes all of mine. He paid for all sin for all mankind. That includes me, for all time. past, present, and future. All sin has been paid for by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, so that if we come confessing our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us of that sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, this in a nutshell is the reason Jesus came into this world. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, Jesus speaks to his disciples, and he tells them that, "I came into the world for the purpose of going to the cross of Calvary." Let's look at this for just a moment. Right after Peter declared Jesus to be the Son of God, Jesus was walking along with his disciples here in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16 and following. Jesus is listening to his disciples talking about who others are saying Jesus is. Some saying he's Elijah, some saying he's John the Baptist come back from the dead. Others are saying various things. Some are saying perhaps that he's the Messiah. And Jesus listens to this and he says, "Now, well, who do you say that I am? Who do you, my disciples, who do you say that I am?" Peter speaks up and he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed this to you." Now that's through verse 20. Then in verse 21, "From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised on the third day." In other words, this is the reason Jesus came into the world. Jesus came into the world specifically to go to the cross of Calvary and to pay sin's debt for all of mankind. Remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, just a matter of hours before his crucifixion, and he was agonizing in prayer before the Father? Three different times he beseeched the Father, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me." What was he saying? He's saying, "God, my Father, if there's any other way to do this, if it's possible to do it any other way, let's do it that way. In my humanity, oh, how I dread going to the cross. How I dread taking upon myself the sin of all mankind, literally becoming sin and being separated from you, Father. Oh, Father, is there any other way to do this? Is there any other way to redeem mankind other than my going to the cross? Yes, I realize that this is the purpose for which I came into the world, but it's right here. It's at hand. It's right before me. Is there any other way that it can be accomplished?" And of course, the answer was no. There's no other way. And Jesus said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." In other words, if there's no other way to do it than my going to the cross and taking upon myself the load of sin of all mankind, I will do it. Nevertheless, thy will be done, Father. And Jesus did it. And Philippians chapter 2 tells us that because Jesus was obedient to God to the point of going to the cross of Calvary, laying down his life, becoming sin for mankind, paying that sin's debt, and giving his life and shedding his blood, that God the Father gave to Jesus the Son a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every tongue confess that he is the Christ, that he is Lord. Jesus is Lord, my friend, and he's returning soon as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to rule and to reign over his creation. Are you ready for that return? Do you know him as your Savior? Salvation is in Christ and no one else. You know, the answer is that Jesus had to come to this world to be the payment of sin for all mankind. But you know, there's another possibility here. God could have said, "Well, let's just scrap this experiment with mankind and we'll start over. We'll do something else. Remember in the wilderness when God was ready to wipe out the Israelites and he said he'd start over with Moses, and Moses interceded with God on behalf of the people. And God relented and had mercy upon the people. See, God could have just said, well, mankind sinned, and he deserves what he gets, so let's just scrap the whole thing and let's just do away with mankind. No, you see, in the final analysis, Jesus didn't really have to come. He didn't really have to save mankind. But Jesus himself tells us why in John 3:16. For God so loved mankind that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Why did Jesus have to come? Because of God's love. Because of his great love for his creation. Because of his great love for mankind. Because of his great love for you and for me. Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord? I pray that you have. If you haven't, accept him today as your own personal Savior and Lord. He paid for your sin, all of them, on the cross of Calvary, that you might become the son, the daughter of God Almighty. And this is a good word from God's Word today. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel.